You can work 60, 70 hours a week, and when you retire or when you leave, nobody from your work is going to remember that. Nobody from your work is going to call you in 5 years and say, you know what, those 80-hour work weeks you were putting in, we appreciate that. Do you know who remembers your 80-hour work weeks? Your children do.
I mean, being a housewife, being a wife, being a mom is so much work. And sometimes at the end of the day, I look and I'm like, what did I do?
Statistics show us 0 to 18, the amount of face-to-face time you get with your children, 95% of the face-to-face time you get with your children happens between 0 to 18. So if you're sending your child to Egypt, which is fine, maybe you have to, whether it's a working situation, whether it's your living situation, whatever it is, what are you doing on the back end to mitigate them becoming Egyptians? Because eventually where they spend the majority of their time, who they spend the majority of their time with, they will become like that thing or they will become like those people. Hey fam, so excited to be with you this week. We're going to be talking about raising children, and I have a special guest on the show. But before we get to the show, I want you to know that we have a newsletter that comes out every week to help notify you and tell you when the next show is, talk about things in the newsletter that we don't always get to in the show. It's a great way to stay connected and stay informed. You can sign up for that or check that out in the link below. Fam, welcome to the show today. I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about raising children. I have 4 children, and that's only possible because I have a wife who loves me, who sleeps with me, obviously, and helped me created those children. And she is actually on the show today. So I want to introduce my beautiful bride, Allison. Allison, how are you today?
I'm good.
What's going through your mind right now as you're on a YouTube show with your husband?
There's no words.
I love it. So tell the audience how long we've been married.
As of next week, it'll be 15 years.
And our anniversary is April 24th.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
You did.
Come on. Sometimes I think it's the 25th for some odd reason.
I don't know why.
So 15 years on April 24th. 15 mm-hmm. years. What's your favorite thing about being married to me?
You keep me on my toes.
Yeah.
For sure. I like a certain schedule. I like a certain way, and you definitely push me to my limits sometimes, but you make me try to be more flexible and you help me grow in that. You keep it interesting.
That's for sure. I hate schedules. I hate calendars.
I hate schedules, but you depend on them for life too.
Come on, we got to shoot from the hip.
Yeah, you do.
That's not always the greatest thing in marriage, shooting from the hip.
No.
But it does keep it fresh and new. You got to have that balance, right?
Right.
Of being organized, being diligent, scheduling things, and then also having a little flexibility. Also today, we have 3 of our 4 children in studio. They are in the background, I believe, doing everything from watching Toy Story to Bluey to playing football on a device. So we're crushing it here. If you hear them, if you hear any type of yelling, we know the difference between someone dying and someone just messing around. So don't worry. We're on that, but it's a big and exciting day for me. So, hey, thanks for doing this.
Hey, of course.
Let's talk about our children.
Okay. Which one?
We've got 4 kids.
Yep.
Under the age of 12.
Well, 12 and under. Yes.
Yeah. 12 and under. That's right. What's your favorite thing about being a mom?
My favorite thing about being a mom, I think right now in this stage of life, is the way that they're growing and all the questions that they ask, when it's not the constant questions, but it's the life questions of how you do this and how do you do this, especially from the older two. But I think because we have two older kids, having two younger kids to be able to snuggle with or give a big hug when you're having a bad day, or you get to hear, hey, mommy, I love you. Hey, daddy, when's daddy coming home? I'm so excited to play with him. Like, those are the cool things that we still get to hear as parents, even though we have preteens.
Yeah.
So it's cool to have both ages.
But it also sucks because they sleep with us every night.
Every single
night. The two young ones.
And wait. They don't start with us. They end up in the bed with
us.
And
then I put them back in the bed, and then they come back in the bed. And I typically wake up with someone's elbow or knee in my rib cage.
Yes. Yeah.
That's horrible.
It is. Every night. Every single night.
But it is fun doing life with these little people.
Yeah,
and, it is. You know, you and I, we've chosen something different as far as raising them. You know, we've chosen to homeschool. And really, some people call us sellouts because we're not full-on homeschoolers.
Right.
We do that co-op model.
Yeah.
Where our kids go to school a couple days a week, and then we homeschool them a couple days a week. So why, as a mother, why was it important for you to choose that route?
In the beginning, it was an easy choice because it seemed like the best choice for our daughter and our son at the time. But I think now, especially through what happened a couple years ago with the pandemic, I can't do this homeschool thing by myself. Yeah. I am a fellowship person. I need accountability in the way that I am as in my personality. And if I don't have that accountability and people to walk alongside me, to keep me going, to encourage me, to say, hey, you messed up here. Can you get a second chance? Or, hey, this needs to change. Or, hey, we see this in your child that you don't see every day.
Yeah.
Has been really helpful, especially with our kids.
Yeah.
Because, yes, we do get to see them a lot. But I need a break as well.
Sure.
But it's just nice to have that accountability and to have those people speaking into your life, not only in your kids' lives, but also as a parent.
Yeah, and that's that co-op piece. So that's where our kids go to a school a couple of days a week, and then the other days a week they're home mostly with you.
Right.
Sometimes with me, but that piece was important because we wanted to be the primary voice in our child's life. You know, when I think about sending my kids to a school or an institution where they're there 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, that doesn't include extracurriculars like sports and arts and things of that nature. I read one study where kids in middle school and above are typically at school anywhere between 50 to 55 hours a week today. I mean, the amount of influence that is put on a young person spending that much time in a place around people that I may or may not know basically just scared the crap out of me.
Right.
So we chose that the majority of time our children are going to spend, they're going to spend it with us.
Right.
And that's just super important to us. And I think, you know, some people are going to hear me say that and they're going to hear, well, because I send my kid to a five-day-a-week school or I send my kid to a public school, it means I don't care about them. I'm not saying that. Maybe you've taken precautions or maybe you've thought it through or maybe you're doing stuff in the evening or stuff on the weekend or stuff on the back end to mitigate all those influences.
Mm-hmm.
What I am telling you is if you're not thinking about it, then you're a fool.
Right.
To think that you can send your child somewhere. I remember Vody Bakum once said he was talking to people that send their kids to a five-day-a-week school. He said, you can't send your kid to Egypt and then get mad when they start acting like Egyptians.
Right.
Right. So if you're sending your child to Egypt, which is fine, maybe you have to, whether it's a working situation, whether it's your living situation, whatever it is, what are you doing on the back end to mitigate them becoming Egyptians? Because eventually where they spend the majority of their time, who they spend the majority of their time with, they will become like that thing or they will become like those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's just super important for you and I to be the loudest voice in the lives of our children. And more so for you. I mean, I travel a lot.
Right.
I'm gone a lot. So you really are that voice. It's important that you're that voice. And we don't shelter our children from the world. We can't.
Yeah.
You know, I remember my son boxes. So he was working out in a boxing gym. And I remember going into the gym, I told him, hey, you're going to see things and you're going to hear things that you probably don't hear in our house. You're going to hear music and you're going to hear language that your mom and dad don't use, right? But that's the world we live in. So instead of protecting him from that, man, I'm training him and saying, listen, it doesn't make these people awful. It doesn't make them terrible people, right? But what it is, it's different. And you've got to learn to stand tall in that environment. I remember him being offended by the music, and I told him, hey, you go ask the owner of the gym to change the music, mm-hmm. to play different music.
Right.
Right. You can have that boldness and you can have that courage, and then tell him why. You know, tell him why. And to have that teaching moment was phenomenal. So why is this so important to you that you're the loudest voice in the life of our children? Or with me, the loudest voice in the life of our children.
Right. We get our kids for such a small time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once they hit 18, 19 years old, they're going off to college or going off to a trade school or the Army or wherever they choose to work.
Or the Navy, Marines, Air Force. We love them all. Coast Guard. We love them all.
But the thing of the matter is, you know, we get them for such a short amount of time, and why not pour into them as much as we can?
That's right.
Let's show them the ways that we fail, be it gracefully or ungracefully, and let them learn from that situation from their loving parents.
Yeah.
I remember last night we were cooking. It was cooking dinner, and I started. Scarlett was she was unloading the dishwasher, and I was making rice. And she goes, "Well, what are you doing?" And so we literally had a teaching moment in that moment of how you make rice. It's super simple, but, you know, she asked questions and I demonstrated. And I mean, not that I can't have that if my kids go to school 5 days a week.
Right.
But
there's less opportunity, though.
There is less opportunity. That's right. And so I was able to walk alongside of her, or we have a math question or a reading question that I'm able to sit there with her, and maybe I don't know the answer. Maybe we can wrestle with it, but I can teach her skills as a mom sitting on the couch with her doing her homework at 9 o'clock in the morning instead of 9 o'clock at night when I'm even more exhausted.
Yeah, and people forget that pre-industrial revolution, that was the norm. Like the family was together. Mom, dad, children, there typically was a trade involved. They were working in unison and working in unity towards a better life and a greater life. And then all of a sudden, you have the Industrial Revolution, and dad gets removed from the home. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, the onus of parenting then shifts to the mother.
Right.
And then you had like second wave feminism, and now we're into third wave, and some people say fourth wave, that really teaches if you're a stay-at-home mom, if all you do is raise your children, really you're less than, right? That's not a career. That's not a profession. You've shortchanged yourself. And so now there's a real thing called mom guilt that these moms sit at home and they're training their children and think they're missing out on the world. But the reality is, man, this is a new thing. It was the norm for you to train your child as you go. It's what the Bible refers to as discipling as you go. Deuteronomy 6. When I wake up, when I lay down, on my door, on my gate, as we go, our children are learning. The problem is today, our children are never with us.
Right.
Because they're in school, or they're at travel baseball, or travel soccer, or dad's working 60 hours a week, or mom is trying to finish her law degree and start a law practice, and you have this family unit that just gets discombobulated because there's no connection. And here's the sad reality. Statistics show us 0 to 18, the amount of face-to-face time you get with your children, 95% of the face-to-face time you get with your children happens between 0 to 18.
Right.
After that, 5% is spread out over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I have said this a lot in our home. We have 18 summers.
Right.
We have 18 birthdays. We have 18 Christmases. Right? I don't know what 18 times 12 is, but it's like 212 months or something like that. I'm trying to do Rain Man math in my head. But we have a couple of hundred months to spend with our children, because after that, man, we may or may not see them a lot. I've got a buddy that's he's raising Five kids, two of them are about to finish college. And it hit his heart last week when his son told him, hey, I've gotten a job in the city that the college is, and I don't know if I'm coming home or be home as much.
Right.
And then his daughter said, hey, I've fallen in love with the city that the college is in, and I don't know if I'm going to be home as much, right? And that's natural, and that's good, and our children need to leave the nest. But the reality is, he's setting in the reality is that, man, my time is running short, and in some cases, my time is running out.
Right.
We want time with our kids.
Right.
Why? Where do you think that comes from? Where? Well, let me ask you this. How do you feel about culture saying you're less than because you're a stay-at-home mom?
I actually think it's changing a little bit more.
Good.
I see more, I mean, you know, I try as much as I can to stay off of social media just because I don't need that as a mom. But I do see a lot of moms, you know, I see a lot more moms staying home.
Yeah. Do you see it? Do you see it because that's all you're looking at?
No.
Or do you think it's
I just think it's, I think it's changing a little bit. I think since the pandemic, some people have made a lot of different life choices.
Yeah.
And have seen the...
The pandemic changed the game.
Well, it did change the game, but it also showed people that they're not home enough.
We lost weight. Kids. Hey, we lost weight during the pandemic. We went walking every day. You remember that?
Let's not talk about that. That's something different.
Did we know?
No, it was postpartum, sweetheart.
Oh.
That was different for me.
Sorry.
That was a little different.
We were living healthy during the pandemic.
We were living better.
We
but
were
it's
running
different.
Out of toilet paper, but we were living healthy. Sorry, I got you off track.
That's
I
off
apologize.
Track. But no, real. What I'm saying is I think a lot of, especially moms and dads, decided to do things differently. I think a lot of people, not everyone, but I think there was a big, big change, especially from women, that when they saw if they were able to stay home.
Yeah.
Or the meaning of what it is to be a mother to the children that you have.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big thing, at least to me and what my perspective, I could be totally wrong from my little bubble of the world.
Right.
But I do. I think I see a change. Oh, I hope to see a change. Yeah. But it's not the end all be all. I mean, yes, I'm a mother, but just as any woman, we've got other things that we aspire to be as daughters of Christ.
Yeah.
But it's just, but yeah, I think it has changed a little bit.
And
I don't
you're super talented, right? You're not just a stay-at-home mom. I mean, I love my wife. I can brag on my wife all the time, but you're a trained sign language interpreter. You have a degree in sign language interpretation. You've worked for the military. You've worked for NASA. You've worked for the court systems, for the school systems. I mean, that's phenomenal. You're an amazing, you're a coffee snob. You're an amazing, I've never drank a cup of coffee in my life. My wife is a coffee snob. You're an amazing barista. I've seen you do that. You're a phenomenal cook. You're very crafty. Like, you make things. Like, if we were Amish, you'd be crushing it. Like, I think you may be part Amish. I'm not sure. But like, you're super talented. And none of those talents go away just because you've chosen
exactly.
to devote the majority of your time to motherhood.
Right. Right. And I think that I've learned things as a mom. I've learned more things.
Yeah.
I've learned the joy of cooking. When we were first married, I hated cooking dinner.
Yeah, those were the best. Those were the best days though, weren't it though? No kids.
I don't want to talk about that. That's a whole
you know
other life, babe.
Like,
that was
we could do whatever we want. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. It was yeah. There's so many stories. But when we had dinner just the two of us, it was horrible because it was just the two of us and I couldn't come up with anything. But when it's the six of us,
we're preparing a feast every night.
I'm preparing a feast every night.
We had beef and broccoli
yeah.
with rice last night.
Yes,
with
and chicken
little
nuggets.
Hot sauce with the chicken nuggets on the side.
Because our kids only eat chicken nuggets.
It's unbelievable.
Yes. All four of our children only eat chicken nuggets. But no, it's just I find more joy in things as I grow, just as much as a mother or as a woman. And it's just part of my life. It's a large part of my life, just like being your wife is a large part of my life.
Come on.
But it's not any less than, it doesn't make me less than to have children or to teach my kids 3 days a week or anything like that.
And it's just for a season.
Exactly.
That's what I think a lot of women fail to see that, especially those who feel guilty about putting their career on hold. you're not putting it on hold forever. You're saying that I have X amount of time with my children and it's limited.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is prioritize that, spend as much time as possible with them, because the career is always going to be there. It's always going to be there, whether you're a teacher, a nurse, a lawyer, a doctor, whatever that is.
Right.
The career is going to be there when you get done raising your children. You're not losing those skills. You're not missing out on anything. And I love what you said. Not only am I not missing out on things, I'm actually gaining a deeper love, joy, and appreciation for more things.
Right.
Because this is what I believe. I believe the Bible teaches that you are wired as a mother. And then exercising that wiring that's in your DNA, that nurturing, loving, rearing of the child, as you exercise that, man, you really discover who you are. Somebody asked me one time, what's the number one thing you've learned from being a father? Well, it's how infinitely selfish I am. Like, my children expose that all the time.
100%.
Right? And I've got to die to self and live to them. Die to self and live to them. Apart from you, apart from God's word and God's church, the number one sanctifying thing in my life is my children. My children help me look like Christ more and more every day. Here's the catch. If I'm not around them or with them, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Doesn't happen. So we're orienting our lives to be around our children.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. I mean, being a housewife, being a wife, being a mom is so much work.
Yeah.
And sometimes at the end of the day, I look and I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
But those moments with your children, those moments with your spouse are, you see them if you look back and are grateful for what God has given you.
Yeah, because you had those moments, those hard,
right,
everyday, ordinary moments that if all we're doing is climbing the ladder, if all we're doing is running around, if all we're doing is working, we miss those moments.
Right.
And there's no one, listen, we're not perfect. We're not the perfect parents.
Oh my gosh, no.
Good Lord. Right? We're progressing.
Right.
And we're trying. But man, I miss more moments than I'm making right now. You know, one of the things in our household is we're trying to make more moments.
Right.
We're trying to embrace the interruptions, right? We're trying to prioritize time with our children versus doing other things just because, and I can't say this enough on the show today, the time is limited.
Oh, 100%.
You know, you don't think about it when you have a 2-year-old. You don't think about it when you have an 8-year-old. But once you have a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, you know how many men I'm talking to right now that their daughters, their sons are getting ready to graduate, and the number one thing they want is more time with their kids.
100%.
And let me tell you, you can work 60, 70 hours a week, and when you retire or when you leave, nobody from your work is going to remember that. Nobody from your work is going to call you in 5 years and say, you know what, those 80-hour work weeks you were putting in, we appreciate that. Do you know who remembers your 80-hour work weeks?
Your children.
Your children do. They'll remember how we chose career, success, popularity, fame, whatever it is you're running after, they'll remember how you chose that over and above them.
Right.
Some of the best things we can do as mom and dad is just show up. Never underestimate the ministry of proximity.
Right.
Being close to your children, which is what you've chosen to do.
Right. Right. 100%.
Because the further you get away,
mm-hmm,
the greater chance for error.
Well, of course. And I mean, and I daily err. I make mistakes every day.
Tell me a mistake you've made today.
Oh. Getting ready for this podcast. Malachi had work to do, and I had a million things to do, and he had schoolwork. And I was so focused on making sure I got a shower and got ready and did this and did this and did this that I didn't just stop and be with him for a little bit. I did, but I didn't.
You didn't welcome the interruption.
I didn't.
You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. I did the same thing. I woke up late today. I was supposed to write a Bible study, a Bible lesson for the children, and I didn't. I didn't have time to because of my own disorganization, and I missed that. So I am going to have to put it on the back end of our day. But I love that we acknowledge that.
Yeah.
I love that we're willing to extend grace, not just to one another, but to our kids and vice versa. And we're willing to live in the messiness. That's my favorite thing. And our life sometimes looks messy. Our house looks messy. Our bedrooms look messy. Our cars look messy. Mm-hmm. What we're doing looks messy. But there's beautiful in the mess because we are near our children, which I don't have to speak for you. I know you know this. It's the most important thing in the world to us.
100%.
If you could offer one bit of wisdom or advice to moms listening, mm-hmm. or to husbands listening to tell their wives, what would you tell them?
Oh, goodness gracious. Probably one of the things that I've noticed recently is time on our cell phones. Mm-hmm. And I know it's the struggle for everybody, but I've literally put timers on myself to turn my phone off. Like, my phone shuts down after a certain time. We turn the television off at a certain time.
Yep.
So that we can have those moments where we say, nope, even mom and dad are not going
to
do it.
Unless it's playoffs and I'm trying to watch
a
game.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
I know, we fight about that sometimes.
Sometimes we do. But it is. It's important. I mean, there's family movie nights and there's this and there's that. But
the NBA playoffs.
I think NBA playoffs are coming up.
NHL playoffs. Go Stars.
Go Stars. But I think many times it's just being aware that your kid's not going to come to you if you're focused on your phone.
Come on.
Now, if you're doing a Bible study or reading a book or cooking dinner, you can have those conversations because you're focused, but they don't see your focus on your phone.
Yeah.
And those are habits that we're showing our kids.
And what you're saying is they can't take part
right
in your phone with you.
Right.
What they can take part in is building a puzzle with you.
Right.
They can take part in cooking with you.
Right.
They can take part in whatever else you're doing. But 100%. When you're locked in on your phone, they can't take part with you because you're loving your device in that moment and you don't have enough love for them.
Right.
That's huge.
Right.
That's huge.
And I've even seen like videos and posts about the fact that your kid's not going to, is not going to come towards you for a hug if you're on your device and your head's down and you're all in a ball almost.
Yeah.
And so it's just be aware of it. Set limits on yourself. I mean, I do. I set limits on myself just so that I don't have to just for myself. Because I'm selfish. Like you said before, you know, we're selfish people.
Yeah.
And we want to do whatever we want to do and not be open. And you can't hear those conversations and you can't have those questions be asked and have that engagement if you're not engaged.
I love it. I love it. You know how much I love you?
How much?
This much. A whole bunch. I think you're the best mom in the world. And I love that you're with me in raising our children. I love that you take an active step towards them. And I love that we love being with and near our children. It's a priority. And I think it should be a priority for everybody listening.
Well, of course.
I love you.
Love you too.